Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello, hello, oh, and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, Survivor News Edition, episode 156. Fasten your seatbelt. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever the podcast resides. Purple Pants Podcast is waiting for you to hit subscribe, write a review, and give your baby boy some 5 stars. And as always, like with our Survivor News segment, you can follow along to this audio podcast with the video on my YouTube page, Bryce Isaiah. Head over to the YouTube page, subscribe, give that video a thumbs up, and get the typing in the comments. I am joined this week with my brother, my best friend, Wendeezy Holland, winner of Survivor 36 Ghost Island. And we are here breaking down episode 7, 8, it's given episode 8, but last week episode, it was 6. So I guess since it was a double episode, last week's episode was 6 and 7, but we are breaking down episode 8, and baby, we is talking about this strategy. We talking about this new style of gameplay where it's like, listen, you my closest alliance today, but tomorrow, I don't know you. So fasten your seatbelts and get ready because we got your Survivor news. And we are back this week with your Survivor News. If this is your first time checking it out, welcome, welcome, welcome. Make sure you subscribe to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel. Give this video a thumbs up and listen, get them fingers tweeting, typing, and comments. We love to read it. Welcome to the podcast, Wendeezy Holland. What's popping? How are you?
What's up, Perp? I'm glad to be back. And I just want to echo Perp's sentiment. Please, guys, like, subscribe, share. Do all of that. We gotta get these wonderful voices of ours, or just Bryce's wonderful voice. We gotta get that voice heard. So share our page.
Yes, we appreciate you. Also, huge congratulations to Wendeezy. By the time this video airs, okay, Wendeezy has a new show special on HGTV. It's called Smart Home. And I want to know, what's your house IQ? Is it high or low? What's your house IQ? Is it high or low?
High or low. High or low.
Wendeezy back on your TV screen. So listen, support my brother, Wendeezy. Set your DVRs, Google it. Make sure you check it out.
Yes. Yeah, so over the last, I'd say like 6 to 8 months, I mean, not these last 2 months, but before that, I was in Wilmington, North Carolina, shooting this incredible show with a very talented designer, Tiffany Brooks. She is incredible. And the very talented landscape architect, Carmen. Is she your cousin, Carmen Johnston? Is she your cousin?
Oh. Okay. S-T-O-N?
Yes.
And that's my cousin on my daddy's side.
Okay, that's your cousin on your daddy's side. Now, Bryce, about when we started working together, the first time we worked together, Carmen sent me something in the mail. It was a cake. Uh-oh. And it was delicious. And uh-oh. I feel like you might have tried it. Anyway, I get home from Chicago today, and there is a box on my stoop.
Oh.
Bryce, it's a whole cake. And I've been eating it. Say it. I've been eating it, Bryce.
Save me a piece.
Now, I'm going to give you half of this thing. That's what I'm saying. I got the knife right here. I got crumbs over here.
Oh, okay.
So Bryce, what I'm trying to say is we need to get in the gym. B, we need to get back on our water grind, okay?
Yes. But listen, okay, we're here to talk about Survivor. Shout out HGTV. Make sure you support Wendeezy. Also, we got to give a huge shout out to Bryce and Wynn Presents Chicago. Bay Bay, when I said y'all turn it out, turn it out, y'all turn it out, turn it out, y'all turn, y'all turn, y'all turn, y'all turn, y'all turn it out,
it out,
y'all turn it out,
it out.
Yo, listen, Chicago, Chicago, Chicago.
He did their thing, Bryce. Bryce, I was shocked. It was our first time in the Midwest for one of our events, and they came out, man. They came out.
It was of course, all of our reality CBS family was in the building, but it really truly was the fans. The energy, the vibe is always just so amazing. And there was just so many warm faces, so many people that, you know, talking to online, tweeting on the Instagram, and then you actually see them in person. It was just truly amazing. So Chicago, listen, we're going to have to be back. Chicago turned all the way, all the way up. I'm all the way
all
up.
All the way up.
That's all. That's
Chicago, they were asking for it. And as y'all know, when you ask, we try, we're men of the people. So as you ask, we try to fulfill that. So if you guys want us to come to your city, drop it in the comments. Let us know where you want us to come next. Chicago was very vocal, and we gave it a shot. We were at Bounce, which is one of their premier nightclubs. Bounce was incredible. And so, yeah, we will be taking this show on the road a little more next season. So let us know where you want us to go.
Yes. And shout out to everyone that came. Honestly, it was truly amazing to see y'all all. I felt like we were home. So listen, Chicago might have to be my second, third, fourth home.
Mine too, man. I need to come back. We might actually, Bryce, we might need to get back out there during the summertime, because I heard Summertime Shy is the greatest.
Listen, yes. And of course, shout out to everyone that came out. Sandra Diaz Twine, the Queen, Darnell Hamilton, Jatia Hart Taylor, Xanda, Andrea, Volche, Tiffany, Jack Atkins, Andy from Big Brother, Jessica from Big Brother, Matt from Big Brother. It was some other special guests as well. And Sarah was in there, and there was some special guests. And if you know, you know. If you come to the Bryce and Wynn Present, then you know.
That's what I love about our group. You know, if they know, they know. They adhere to the rules. We're going to be dropping some more rules on the Instagram page. But yeah, it's a great function, Bryce. I love it.
Yes, it was so much fun. And also, you know, go follow the Bryce and Wynn Present Instagram page. We will keep you posted with the photos, information on our next coming dates. But listen, okay, we rambling on. But listen, that's the vibe that Chicago, it gives. It was the Windy City, but the Windy City of Love.
The Windy City of Love. The last thing I will say on this, Bryce, when I look at the composition of the people in our parties, okay, I think it looks like the new composition of the show.
Mm.
It's just this amazing mix of people just coming in and enjoying themselves.
Melting pot. And there were so many people that it was funny because, first of all, you know me, I'd be trying to conversate with everybody. There's so many people that I was talking to at our event, and they were like, I came alone. And by the end of the night when we were leaving out, I saw them kiki and then cutting it up with people. And I was like, I told you, like, you know, you can come alone, but listen, you will for sure leave with friends and you will leave with long lasting memories. So again, thank you for everyone that supports your baby boys. We truly appreciate it. Now let's get into Survivor. Let's go.
Okay, let's go. So we get back to camp. This is, you know, this is after the merge now. This is after the Lydia vote out. And sadly, our girl Lydia is not going to be a part of the jury, which kind of hurts. I think this hurts all of us.
No, for sure. She's part of my heart forever. Okay, yeah. And the Juicy Ask Alliance. Okay, me and her is in that forever. But she's still in my heart, so it don't matter.
Yes, that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to agree with what you said there. And so we get to the camp, and Mike says the majority of us made this hard decision of voting Lydia out. And he said on the outs are Tori, Romeo, Chanel, and Marianne. This is not news to any of us. We've seen them on the outs. I'm hoping that those four can find a way to flip something to make this, you know, make this a game and to really shake things up, because we can watch them pick everyone off. But anyway, so then we get Chanel speaking to High, and she's like, how did Mike know and not me? She was tired of being out of the loop, and she had a confessional where she said, you don't want to come into the merge and be on the wrong side of the numbers. That's just a bad start to a merge. The merge is that's the most, and from then on is the most important part of the game. A lot of people don't even consider your resume pre-merge. And for you to come into the merge already on the outs, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'll say you don't want to just come into the game, period, on the wrong side of the numbers. We see what happens to a lot of us at that time. And absolutely. And also, I think that I'm not sure if this is when Chanel said it, but she had said something that Jack had said on the podcast. Also, shout out to the baby boy, Jack. He is missed this week. He's at a festival with Xander.
He ain't on spring break again?
He not on spring break. He had a festival with Xander. But, you know, Jack had said early on that the level of gameplay that Chanel was playing was really good and really, like, you know, maybe some at some points overthinking it. And she even said that she felt as though she is playing chess and they're playing checkers. And she ain't at the same board. You can flip it over. The chessboard is the same. No, the checkerboard is the same as the chessboard. You just move pieces. So yeah. Chanel needs to clean that board of the queen, the pawn, and the prince and put them checkers up there. Because, like, I think that that was a very great analysis of her own gameplay. And it's so interesting that she's able to see that in the game. But the question is it too late for you to clear the chess off and move the checkers on?
Yeah, sometimes you're thinking too far ahead of the game. You're getting ahead of yourself when you have to be present and think about what's the now and what are the relationships I need to build or I need to tighten up for me to live on until tomorrow, as opposed to me thinking what I can do on day whatever's down the line. We also get another conversation between Romeo and Drea. Romeo's like, I was on the wrong side of the numbers, and Drea says, I think it might be in a confessional, that Romeo was my ally, but he's been playing paranoid. And if he has to go, then he's going to go.
And I'm like, so here's the thing, though, because I've been saying all this season that when it's time to jump ship, it's time to jump ship. However, I ain't been saying, well, it's time to kick somebody off the boat. Like, you know, like I feel, so I am not mad at Drea's thinking of, you know what, I'm going into this merge with my closest alliance and I need to, like, build another alliance. But my thing is, don't burn the bridges before you need them again. And I feel, again, I can understand that, like, you know what, if I am with these people that at this point I just met for 3 days and I'm not going to trust my closest alliance, for me, that's just like, I wonder what your end game is going to look like. Because are you, like, you're so quickly disposing who was, even if Romeo is panicking, even, like, then I feel like it should be your due diligence for your own game to calm him down. And I feel like he paranoid because he know you're not with him.
Yeah. Yep. And we hear more about that later in the episode.
Okay.
And but you're absolutely right. Like, Drea, you don't have to alienate this person who was your ally until you have to. And you don't have to right now.
Right.
You can continue to work with this large alliance and nurture that other relationship.
Right. But I mean, and also I can understand on both sides of the coin. If you no longer serve me, then I'm just going to continue to move on. But I think that there is not sometimes what you do is how you do it.
This is true too. This is true too. We also get a conversation between Lindsay and Marianne, where I think Lindsay's trying to, you know, just be friendly to her a little bit. And we get a Marianne confessional where she's flashing back to elementary school and she considers herself like too weird to be a part of the cool kids. And man, oh man, we've seen narratives like this in Survivor before. Everyone knows the cool kids narrative. This happens in everyday life. It happens in every walk of life. There's always the cool kids, and then there's the people that feel ostracized, or the people that feel like they can't break into this group, and the people that feel like they, they're kind of outcasts. And for Marianne to get on this show and be feeling these highs and feeling so good about herself, and then for her to be on left out of the vote and on the outs, that can really bring you down and make you feel bad, especially when you're watching this large alliance of the big, strong, beautiful, pretty people, and they're leaving you out.
Yeah, no. And you can be a strong person. You can be as confident as you want in the real world. And Survivor has such a way of humbling yourself that, like, the traumas of your past, you know, being teased or being outcasted as a younger version of yourself, and you can overcome it and you become a better person. But you go out on Survivor and they leave you out on a boat, and it's like it brings you right back to that moment. So I felt Marianne. I was Marianne, and I definitely knew where she was coming from.
Me too.
I feel like
I just hear you. I hear you. Like, it brings you back to those times. And
yeah,
Yeah. And no one wants to be there, especially on the island. And we even saw Chanel, who, if I saw Chanel walking down the street, I'd be like, man, she's one of those cool kids. She's beautiful. She got personality, all that stuff. But they ostracized her on the island to where she'd walk up to conversations a couple episodes back and they'd all walk away from her. And so I just, like that, that's starting to rub me the wrong way. And then we get to day 15. This is a new day, a new morning. And this was what I think was a very powerful moment when we have Omer about to start prayer and Mike is observing him and he asks if he can watch him. And he says, I don't know anything about Islam. And we had a conversation about it. And basically it's Mike, this Puerto Rican guy from Hoboken, who is just trying to learn about someone different of a different faith. And Omer, who is willing to open up and share with him and let him know what his prayer routine is and a little bit more about the Islamic faith. And I think it's so great. And we get this confessional from Mike and he says, you know what? I realize we all ain't that different.
Mm-hmm. That moment was so powerful. And again, it just brings me back to like the diversity initiative. It's not just about, you know, more people of color. It's about more diversity, more religions, more people that we have never seen before. And the greatest thing about Survivor is it's supposed to be this huge social experiment. And you are meeting people from different walks of life across the world that you have never encountered before. And it's just so cool to learn from each other. If you don't know, it's okay to ask a question. It's okay to listen. And I think that we just got such a great and a powerful example from that moment of Mike and O, that I love to see it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of both of theirs. And you can tell that both of them are good people. And from my, and I was even saying this to some people at our party last night. I basically said that if you're willing to understand that you don't know everything and you're willing to learn, as in open yourself up to someone else's perspective, and upon new information, change your attitude or your way of life or what have you based on this new information, then you're someone that can grow. And in this case, Mike exhibited, hey, look, I don't know everything about your faith, but hey, I want to just learn it so I can see what it is like, you know? So
right.
that was huge for me. It was a great moment. And it's not just about putting these diverse people on this show. It's also about telling these stories. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to see this story. And that's one thing that I think it's impressive, because not everyone, we're from Philly. There are so many Muslims in Philly. You know, we have numerous Muslim friends. Nas is one of my best friends. You know, I can name 100 of my Muslim friends, but not everyone in America has Muslim friends or Black friends or gay friends or any of these things or trans friends. And so for this show that all of America loves to start telling these stories and humanizing these human people, from my perspective, it's the right direction. And so kudos to Survivor, to the storytellers, but also kudos to our guys, Mike and Omer, in the game, willing to open up and share with each other. So we just wanted to make it a point to speak about that bit.
Absolutely. And more of it. Again, I think that the show is doing a great job of modeling what a conversation can look like, modeling what, you know, learning about different cultures and different people. I think that it is just a great model for all of America to see and to strive to be more like it. So I was very happy to see that.
You see a guy like Mike and you might prejudge someone like Mike, mm-hmm. or you see him or the way he walks around, the way he talks, you might prejudge him. But as we're getting to know him by watching this show, and it's clear that looks can be deceiving. You should not prejudge anybody. And this guy, his heart is in the right place. He's a good guy, and it translates and it shows. So I can't wait to meet this guy one day. And yeah, he seems just like a great dude.
Yes. Same for O. So then, same for Omer. I think that he's amazing as well. And I think it just demonstrates a lot for Omer to just take the time. Because, you know, We don't have to, like, you know, he did not have to. He could have been like, this is something private to me, like, you know, but, you know, it again, that shows a lot of Omer's character. And I think that he has a big heart, and I'd love to meet him one day as well.
I like that. I like that you touched on that, Bryce, that you said that it showed a lot on Omar's behalf to be patient with someone that doesn't know so many things. And I might even relate this to our conversation last week with Evie, because they were patient in explaining everything to me while I was just trying to figure out things. And sometimes, and from my perspective, sometimes I don't always want to explain race to somebody, or I don't always want to explain something because I feel like it's been so much already. And for Omar to take the time, or Evie to take the time, or people to take the time to try to explain or share their perspective, it's just going to make all things better, if you ask me. But then we get into the reward challenge.
Oh.
Okay. And we have a shot of Propes. He is talking about the advantage and placing the advantage. He said it wasn't found in season 41. And then he plants it under the bench, kind of like just under the seat. And Bryce, do you remember who didn't find it in 41?
I'm trying to think. I was like, who could they be talking about? But then I realized that I was like, you know what? I think that might have been my Zaddy Zander, okay? Because I felt like I might have been or was or am the bench, okay? For Zaddy Zander.
And he didn't find it. But look, he's looking for it.
He's like, literally looking for it. However, I do feel like this wasn't the same challenge, though, right? This was a different challenge.
I don't know, but what does that mean?
No,
what's the point? They didn't see the season anyway.
The point, but what I'm saying as the variable that it could be different here is that this was a very active challenge for all participants that were in it. They were up and down, okay, up and down, in and out, where it might have gave the person that was looking this go round a little bit more of an advantage, as opposed to where Zaddy Zan was in this photo. He was like, they were going towards him and like all eyes were on him at all times. So I think that could have been the different variable that I'm speaking.
Y'all hear Bryce always looking out for his boy Xander, right?
I listen. Got your love for the Zatties.
Yeah, so Propes plants it again, and he says, hey, look, if they don't find it this time, I'll be a little disappointed. And so then we have a challenge, and he announces what it's for.
Oh.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and potato
chips. Peanut butter, jelly time. Peanut butter, jelly time. To the left, to the left. To the right. I'm doing the Tootsie Roll.
To the left, to the right, to the front, to the back.
Now, okay.
This is terrible. This is our worst rendition of a song ever. But yeah, so you in this challenge, it's a water challenge. And we already know Aquaman is in the mix, so we can assume what's going to happen. But in this challenge, they have to draw rocks to delineate teams. And the person with the gray rock is someone that has to sit out and cannot participate, which sucks. But in this case, we get Marianne drawing the gray rock and immediately Drea saying, I don't really like peanut butter and jelly. I'm willing to sit out. I'll swap with you.
Now, interesting enough, because I feel like, again, what I do love about season 41 and 42 is that there are the what Survivor's doing is so similar. And I feel like when Zaddy Zan did this on his season, I felt like it was used, or it was there like, oh, he did that to be like, you know, to make himself look better. And it wasn't seen as such a genuine gesture at the time. However, I felt like when Drea did this, I felt like we heard no commentary of, is this a strategic move? Because here's the thing, though. If I am out there and I don't like peanut butter, but I have not had a morsel of rice, of chicken, of lamb, of beef, like, you know, if I haven't had no honey nut O's, I'm going to eat me some peanut butter.
Exactly. Now, why doesn't Drea like peanut butter? We didn't get to the bottom. Does she have a nut allergy? Does she not? Is she like, what was Xander's thing? He's keto. What was he?
He was. He might have been Episcopalian.
Here he goes, guys.
I mean, paleo. He was on I think he might have been on a paleo diet.
Okay. Yes. He could be Episcopalian as well.
I mean, you never know.
I'm Baptist. So
I'm not nominational, but you know.
So, yes. So Drea then decides she's going to sit out instead of Marianne. And hey, okay, you're good move. It could be, you know, people. I guess in 41, like you said, they were kind of like, why, you know, right, questioning his motives. But in a Drea position, you're in an alliance of eight. You're in a big alliance. Maybe they're just like, regardless, that's our right girl.
And also, I think that with Xander, I forget who was that set out, they hadn't participated in a reward. And Xander was like, they haven't participated in a reward, so I want to, like, you know what I mean? It was a noble act, but we play a survivor, Daddy Xander. Like, they see right through it, as opposed to Drea being like, I don't like the peanut butter, so you can have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, we get that, and we could talk about this challenge, but again, on one tribe, there is Aquaman, Jonathan. And on the other tribe, there is not Aquaman, Jonathan. So we can assume who's going to win this. But look who it is.
Oh, okay.
Bryce, do we have any fancy Photoshop this week? Do I need to make any guesses about anything?
Or we can continue. Although some people I know on the Twitter, I had tweeted, I said, I'm Jonathan's left arm. Okay. Because he literally was pushing the buoy and just swimming with one arm. Okay. Yeah. How deep does the stroke go? Okay. I'm just asking.
Okay. So anyway, this is a challenge. You dive off some high platform, you swim one person at a time, you bring your buoys through some obstacle course, and at the end you gotta shoot the buoys basketball style into a floating rim type of situation. Yeah. And so when we get to this end, Omer sinks like four of these balls.
First of all, listen, my nickname for Omer is O, okay? O was out there. Boop, 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 boop. I said, you better go ahead. Boop, 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 boop. I said, oh, you better go ahead, baby boy. Boop, 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 boop. And then I said, oh, Lord, come on. Get it back, O. Come on, get it back, O. Get it back. Get it back, go. And child, it wasn't enough time, because then look, Thor himself came on up
and sunk five straight. And I think Roxroy was shooting at first or something. They weren't hitting him. Jonathan said, hey, man, step aside. Let me do this real quick. Sinks five, game over. Before Omer.
With Jonathan, though, was Jonathan's so doggone tall that, like, all he got to do was just reach over, and he practically was just dropping the ball in, like, you know.
He's doing finger rolls.
It was an unfair advantage.
Yeah. So Jonathan comes up and wins this thing, and are we surprised? No, we're not surprised. If we see any water challenges or water team challenges, Jonathan has quite literally put his tribe and ladder and boat and Bryce Isaiah on his back and won these things. So yes.
Yeah.
So that's that. And then we get to our commercial break. Now, Bryce, I would love to explain every commercial that I saw, but because we were at our party, I was mixing and mingling it up. So what I did was I watched the show on the flight home, and I took my notes, and on my app, what app is it? Paramount Plus? On my Paramount Plus app, I don't have to watch commercials.
Oh. So,
I mean, this could be a commercial for Paramount Plus, but I'm just gonna give a commercial. I'll give a shameless plug for our event coming up on. Oh, look at you trying to be fast. The Bryson Went present RHAB Live karaoke kickoff party on May 3rd from 7 p.m. till 12 a.m. at Mustang Harry's with Rob Cesternino, with DJ Caution. He's gonna be spinning. We're going to be doing our karaoke. We're going to have lots of special guests. You know, in New York, the special guests come out. So that's Tuesday before RHAB Live, where they will be watching Survivor that night. And all those tickets are sold out. Rob has quite the following. But if you want to come party with us, we're going to still invite all of our friends out. It's going to be a great time. Mustang Harry's. Check the link in Bryson Wen Presents bio and grab yourself a ticket.
Yes. Okay. First of all, listen, everybody in the comments, in the YouTube comments, vote if y'all think Wendell should exclusively start watching Survivor on Paramount Plus with no commercials. Let me know, okay?
I'm willing to bet you, Bryce, I am willing to bet you that they would rather I watch it with the commercials, because the people need to know. Remember last time? Remember the commercials? Like, we were talking about the Lincoln Navigator.
I read the comments. Some people find it funny. Other people, so somehow
it's not a joke, Bryce. These are legitimate. Whatever, you know. I'm not even gonna entertain your foolery.
So I was like, enough, Wendell.
Damn.
I mean, it might have been me, but I mean, I still read the comment.
All right, Bryce. So if we can move along past you clowning me for being a very diligent employee of yours.
Okay.
Now,
on probation.
Huh?
I said who's on probation.
Now, Bryce, we get back to camp. We have people eating on the reward. Mike, Jonathan, Chanel, Toy Rocks. They're grubbing their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Jonathan says he usually eats about 4,000 calories a day. Mm. That is a lot of food, Bryce. Listen, where does it go?
I mean, he's about 3 foot high.
Three foot high.
So listen, I mean, it makes sense that he probably should be taking in 10,000 calories. You see how he swims? Swimming is such a huge, it burns a lot of calories. So listen, baby, let the baby boy eat. But I do have something to say here. I was the ladder. I was the boat. I was the rope. I was the wing. But I definitely feel like, okay.
Are you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I definitely feel like I am a peanut butter.
Are you the jelly sandwich?
Listen, I'm the bread, okay? That's the first thing that's hitting his mouth. So I'm the bread.
I can never unsee these things. I'm sure Jonathan's going to really love this photo.
Listen, at this point, we just loving on baby boy. I will be a bridge. Okay.
Okay. All right. That's good. And then moving on, we get back to camp. We hear Omer talk about having eyes and ears on all sides of the island. We're getting a lot of good imagery of this guy. I'm like, am I getting winter edit vibes from Omer?
Listen.
The man is like, Bryce, if I would have looked at Omer at the beginning of this season, I might have prejudged and thought, I don't know how far this guy can go. This man, socially and strategically and politically, he's making the right moves. He's talking to the right people. And he, from my perspective, he doesn't seem too gamey as far as where people will see him as this sheer strategist that is always, it's like he's the friendly sheer strategist or whatever it is.
So there's like a couple of things. First of all, what I love about watching O is we see his confidence grow each episode. And definitely like him having his Jonathan shield and he'll be the brain shield. We see the evolution of O. And I think one of the things that makes him in such a great spot is because he is in the Merge Top Alliance. However, the Outlanders or the Outliers, they don't believe him to be in the Big Dog Alliance. So they come to him with information and feeling like they can work together. So he really is in such a great spot there to be not a voice in the Big Alliance. He is a voice, but like, you know what I mean? Like he's not calling all these shots. He's just listening and then having the Outlier Alliance and them coming to him. The only thing that makes me nervous when I see someone in a position like this is that it only takes but for one slip up of like, you know, somebody to say or see the wrong imagery of talking to someone else, and then he becomes target number one. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like he has to walk a very thin line, not a thin line, but he just has to be careful because he really is in such a great spot, having practically saved Jonathan last week, which I was like, oh my God, don't do too much, baby boy, because I'm like, you know, going around, but it seemed as though he was able to get high to flip on Lydia. But again, I just wonder, is the gameplay in this season so high that High was willing to turn on Lydia and we see Drea willing to turn on Romeo? Like, is it that the stakes are just that much higher that people are like, I have to do anything to ensure that I am in the top? And then you have someone like, that's like, well, I'm just here to listen. I'm here to like, you know, and again, like you said, it's casually persuading. It's not being all game time, but talking to individuals, not in big groups, because I don't see him doing a lot of talking in the big groups. It's the individual when he needed to talk to High about Lydia, he came to them when it was just Ty and Mike. You know what I mean? Like, he was talking to Drea. He was talking, he seems to move, I'm going to say, like a dove, peacefully, friendly. Like, you know, when you, I don't know how, like, I feel like if you ever heard like a pigeon outside, you would hear like a, like, you know, but I feel like when a dove.
Wait, what's the pigeon sound like first?
You know, like, if you ever been like walking downtown and it's like a whole bunch of pigeons and you like walk through them and they like, but I feel like when you see a dove or they release a dove, it's like,
that's how Omar moves.
And I feel like that's how Omar is moving in this game. Like, he's not going, he's not running around like, like, you know, he's like.
I have a question.
Yes.
Have you seen that video of that? It was at that funeral.
Oh.
And the guy, and he was, you know how sometimes you release pigeons at funerals and you let them fly.
I've never seen anyone release a pigeon at a funeral.
I'm sorry, a dove at a funeral and you let them fly away, kind of like symbolizing, you know, the spirit or something.
Right.
And you saw that one video, right?
He released the dove. The dove went bloop. I said, oh, Lord.
The dove wasn't alive, so he threw the dove. He launched them. We need to find that video, Bryce. You can't. I mean, I know your editing skills are still rather.
I need heads up, but I could look forward to see if we could find the video.
Well, I need a heads up that you're going to analogize Omar to a dove.
Well, listen.
So, Bryce, but to speak about Omar, we saw either a few episodes ago when he wanted to take the target off of his person, but Omar, either he didn't have a vote or there was something, and he could have done one of two things. He could have just sat back and just went with the flow, or he could use his brain and start making those ends,
right,
and talking to people, feeling people out. And now we're seeing an evolution of that where he's talked to all these people. He's planted all these seeds. So now he can go back and just talk to these people and nurture those relationships. And with a lot of people, whenever people ask me for advice about going out on the island, should they get casted? One thing I say is you got to have these relationships. You got to talk to everybody every day, multiple times, check in with them, nurture those relationships. And it seems like Omar is in a good place where he can talk to anybody at any time.
Yeah. And again, I love to see it. However, I just, as a fan of the show, just make me nervous for my baby boy, because I know playing again, just seeing how cutthroat some of these players can be towards their own alliance. It's like, I need for him to be this. I need for you to stay, keep the dove feet light, keep it moving. So I get nervous because that's my baby boy.
Yes. So yeah, that's our baby boy. So we're rooting for him. So then we also get a fun segment where Drea, who found the advantage in the reward challenge, she then has to go. And it's a beware advantage.
It's a beware, but it's very important for us to know, because this is a beware challenge where it's knowledge is power. And
well,
it's interesting.
We're getting to
find out what it is.
Jeez Louise. My goodness. One of us keeps us on track and one of us talks about doves and pigeons and mix. So she has a beware advantage, emphasis on beware. And she has to go find it. It is 5 paces from the water well under a coconut, where she searches for a little bit, finds a coconut, flips it over, and it looks like it is a buried can of paint or something. Red paint. Where she has to stick her hand in red paint.
I think I don't want to move like a pigeon, so I'm going to come in like a dove. So she, after she got the beware from the challenge, when everyone was out in the water, she read it and it told her, you had to go to the coconut to get the,
There he goes. He's a pigeon.
Because I was coming out.
Pigeon is a good who be walking by. I don't want no pigeons that be the ones that
a scrub is lonely. Love and listen, I was always the one singing the scrub. A scrub is a guy that thinks he's fly, that also known as a buster. Always talk about what he wants, but just sits on his cuz no, I don't want no scrub. Is the kind of that gets no love
from me.
Hanging on the passenger side
with his best friend's ride.
Trying to holler at
me. I don't want no pigeons. Then be the girls who gets no love from me. They be in the parlor broke with your best friend's coat. Try to holler at me. A pigeon is a girl.
Oh my God. I never even learned the words to that.
Nope. Hurt because of da-da-da-da-da-da. And she fronting like she can't say hi. What? Uh-oh. Y'all chicks ain't getting hotter. Uh-oh. The ain't worth the Ramada. Uh-oh. Anyway, your friends look hotter. Uh-oh.
Most don't know
we got a lot of. Uh-oh.
Always talk about what he wants.
Then be the one that gets no love from me.
No.
I think my rendition was better. Thank you.
I mean, it's fine.
So, Mr. Pigeon, Drea takes her paces. She finds this can of paint. She reaches in there to get this advantage out. She, her hand looks like it is gushing blood. Fortunately, she was next to the
water well,
where she proceeded to dunk the thingy in there and rinse off her hand and clean off her hand. Bryce, how would you have cleaned things up?
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking about this. So I would have done the water. I also would have put my hand in sand, and sand is an exfoliator. So I would have, like, you know, tried to brush, get it off as much as possible. But I also would have joined the others in the water immediately, like, you know, and then just been in the water. Because I'm just, first of all, this season, they love blood. Because on the first episode, child, they had to smear the blood all over their face and, like, hot, like, you know, his giving his moisturizing. And that's where I felt like, you know, high skin routine with the blood and the dirt. I feel like Drea should have been exfoliating with the sand.
I agree.
My opinion.
I agree with you. So she rinsed. Would you have stuck your hand in the well?
I mean, in.
Probably.
Bryce
would have jumped in the well. If you guys don't know Bryce, Bryce is one wherever he goes, he'll find a tub. Bryce loves a tub. He would have seen that well as a tub, and he would have jumped in the tub, in the well.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm lying.
Well, I mean, are you talking about the tub, or are you talking about the bloody-filled hole?
You wouldn't have jumped in the can of paint. I'm saying after you would have gotten some red paint on your arm, you would have dove in the water well.
Not the water well. And then could you imagine if somebody happened to walk by and, like, you're just in the water well?
All right. Yeah, we're going to need you to do a Photoshop of you in the water well next week.
Okay. Right? I mean, if Jonathan's in it, then okay.
No.
that's an easy no-brainer.
Yes. So before we get to Drea getting back to camp, can we get into all of her artillery?
I mean, she is... Loaded. She's locked and loaded. And I love to see Drea with all of these artilleries, ammo, beware, shake what your mama gave you, drop it low, you know, bills. She's like loaded with, like, I'm just naming songs, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, she's got all of the hits. And again, it just, like, so I'm so excited because it's like, oh my God, yeah, Drea, like, and it makes me nervous because historically in Survivor, when somebody is this locked and loaded and has this much ammo, they become a huge threat or they don't execute it right. So it's like I am hoping and praying, and I feel like Drea is the type of player that can execute it. I just don't know.
Yeah, so let's talk about everything she has.
Okay.
She has an amulet,
automatically gives her a huge target because the other people that have it could want to get rid of her.
About it.
And they know about it.
But as the other people dwindle, that becomes more and more powerful, right?
And so, but again, yes. So if who else has the amulet? Is it Tori or Lindsay and High?
And High.
So say if Lindsay or High goes out and then it's still just Dre and someone else, even more of a target for the other person who has the amulet to, like, put a big mark on her back to like blindside her. But continue.
Right. So there's that, which can ultimately mature into an idol. Then she has an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And she has what? And knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power.
Which is essentially a, hey, steal an idol.
Okay. It's essentially when you land on somebody's house or property, a monopoly. And you
it's
can't,
gentrification.
Oh, okay. But also what scares me about this knowledge is power. And mind you, and she knows who has the idols. Okay. But takes me back to our good queen, Liana.
Mm-hmm. But Liana's, because it's knowledge is power, that knowledge was disseminated and the power dwindled. In this case, if Drea does not share or spill the beans on this knowledge is power advantage, which no one knows about and no one has ever seen before because they didn't see season 41. If she sure. keeps that locked up and she knows the two other people with idols right now.
So, yes, but also here's the thing. Tori knows something's up. So obviously mm-hmm. they're not going to know that. And again, I would normally say that, you know, I would think that Drea will go to her closest ally, which Romeo, and tell him this. But I don't know. Maybe she brings this information to her newfound alliance.
Who's the closest ally?
Well, I don't know. At this point, I don't know. It could be high. It could be. But this is another thing that I thought with this knowledge is power, right? What if she could take somebody's amulet, but they don't go home, though? Like, could she level up on an amulet and not take them out?
Mm, wow.
Could you imagine that? Because then, like, you know.
Well, would you rather an amulet or an idol?
I'm just saying, but like, what if there was a way, and I don't think that this, I don't think it would be beneficial to her, but like, what if at tribal, you was like, this is the thing, because I forget the levels of the amulet. When only two are left, it do something too.
So what is it now? An extra vote?
Jack?
actually, guys, it's yeah, right now it's an extra vote, and then it'll mature into a steal vote, and then finally the last one is an idol. It'll be an idol.
So I'm just saying, like, what if they're so, or again, it could all be that anyway. So you're right, she could execute this correctly. She has the potential to.
Yeah, so, and what I'm trying to say is she has so much firepower. She has spilled the beans a little bit with certain things to certain people. Nobody knows how much stuff she has.
Right.
So she could feasibly burn something or two things just to kind of maybe take a target off her back. If she uses, I forget who she told what she has, but if she uses something at one of these tribals just to say, hey guys, I'm going to use this so I don't have it anymore, so you guys don't target me. And then she could still be sitting on like three
right. Or she could drop bows on them. Drop bows on them. Drop bows.
Throw
like,
them bows. We drop bows on
goals.
Them.
Drop bows. Goals. Eminem. Oh.
Cadillac. Mills. Oh. Cadillac. Mills. Check out the old Cadillac.
Mills.
Matter of fact, can he paint Cadillac skills? So check out the Cadillac Mills. Oh. 20-inch wide. 20-inch high. Oh, don't you love my 20-inch ride?
Oh.
20-inch thighs make 20-inch. Okay, well, American 20-inch pies, pretty. Oh,
so but
shout out to Ludacris.
Okay,
Luda.
I would like. Could you imagine if she plays an idol, then at a tribal, knowledge is power. Like you know, then gate. Like if she could. Like she it. And mind you, I would want to see something like this. Like she knows that her back is to the wall, and she's like, you know what. Tribal about to be real fun today. And knowledge is power. She steals Mike's idol, gives it to the next person that they're targeting, uses her idol, and then it like could like I mean she could literally start.
She could flip the alliance. She could flip it.
If let me know
she could flip all the big strongs, scoop up all the outcasted ones, and change the whole alliance with all this artillery.
I mean, but here's the thing, though. This is like, she really could do that. But again, what worries me is that, like, her relationship with Romeo, like, you know, it's like she, again, being so forward and moving forward with, like, this new alliance and, like, you know, like, these people, they matter in the sense of, like, Would they want to come back to you after, like, so I don't know.
And so it's Romeo and it's Tori. So, like, now she's accumulating rivals, or, you know, people that are looking at her funny. So
and we know that Tori has connections to Marianne, has connections to Lindsay, and not for nothing with like Roxroy. Although they like go back and forth, they seem to like they have a very weird relationship. And if Roxroy wasn't so rocks to the Roy, I would utilize the fact that like they always bicker, but I would almost like make Tori one of my closest like people that I like. You know what I mean? Like,
brilliant. Play that bickering up, and in actuality, stay locked in. So Drea comes back. She's chatting with Tori. Tori notices some paint on Drea's arm. And Tori's like, hey, is that blood? What you got on your arm?
Drea was like, we had a painting with a twist earlier.
And she's like looking down like, oh yeah, played in some paint for the flag.
Tori's over there like,
and mind you, Tori was giving us the Roxroy face, like just sitting there like, like, tell me you just filmed something without telling me you just filmed something that we can't see the paint, and you just sitting there with your bag over there like, I just like, yeah. But again, I ain't mad at Drea. I would be paranoid too if I was sitting on all of this ammunition, and yeah, like that would make me paranoid.
She said, I just saw in my notes. As a matter of fact, you're Tori, Bryce. Catch me with my paint. Me with the paint on my arm.
Okay. Wendell, you okay?
What's wrong?
Are you bleeding? Should we call medical?
I was trying to paint something. It spreads easily, so be careful.
Oh, me looking at the easel with paint that there's no paint on it and looking back at Wendell.
She was like, there's no paint on the pride flag. It's rolled up. It's pristine. It's clean. It's crispy. What is she talking? And she sees something bulging. Shout out to our boy, JD. She sees something in her pants. Mm. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Drea is on Tori's radar.
Oh, for sure.
And I love it. And, Bryce, from the first episodes watching Tori, I was just like, I'm kind of laughing at her. I want to watch her play because she's funny. Now we're seeing like she's sharp, she's playing, she's kind of on the couch, but she's playing and she's smart. So I'm really liking watching her now.
I will save my critique for her after we get through the challenge.
Mm-hmm. So which we go right into the immunity challenge. You have to balance on a narrow perch while balancing a buoy between two handles.
Jeff gives them the option though.
He wants to open up negotiations. So he wants people to sit out in exchange for some portions of rice. Yes. What did you think about the negotiations, Bryce?
So I thought the negotiations were like interesting because like I understand it and I love the fact that like, you know, he'll start off high, start off low. And obviously no one wants to step down from a challenge. Like you want to like fight for a challenge because, you know, you just never know if you're safe. And so ultimately like Marianne, she is like, listen, I know that I am a potential my name on the chopping block, but listen, I needs to eat and I want to do what I can do to help my tribe. Like, what, like, you know, she like she said in her confessional, like, look at me weaponizing my emotions. Like, yes, we love to see it. And so ultimately she was able to get four people. I believe it was Drea. It was Omer. It was Lindsay and it was Marianne maybe it was Omer, Drea, Marianne and Lindsay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so this is what always kind of sort of like let me know, because, you know, I never had the chance to like play for an individual immunity challenge. And, you know, first of all, shout out to my good boo boo Romeo. You know, I love Romeo. But listen, I'm just like, Romeo only lasted like 3 seconds. Oh, no, it was high. So like, listen, no, high only lasted 3 seconds. So I'm not even mad. Oh. I get it. I would be upset. But I guess there's no way to know whether or not you will be good at it or not. So it's hard for me because I'm just like, if I know that I'm bad at this and there's an opportunity for me, like, I don't know. Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
This isn't like, for example, if this was a swimming race, people would, they're standing next to Jonathan Aquaman.
Right.
Clearly, they'll sit out. Maybe all of them might sit out. The negotiations will be pretty fast. But in this case, this is one of those backyard circus type weird games where anyone can essentially win something like this. And you don't know if you're good at it because you ain't nobody practicing
on the right. Yeah. Right.
So it is, it does take a little bit for people to drop out of this. But then again, like if you're a Marianne, look, I don't think I'm going to win this. Like clearly I don't think I'm going to win this. And I am on the outs, but I'm going to announce it and I'm going to play it up. We got a confessional from her saying that she was playing it up and she was using her emotion as a strategy and using her emotion as ammunition. And I don't know if that's the case. Maybe it was some real emotion, whatever the case right. may be. So yeah, you get these people sitting out. Then you get Jonathan saying something like, I'm thankful for you guys. I'll make it up to you.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Thanks, Jonathan.
Right. Well, I imagine he whispered something into Omer's ear right before the challenge and was like, just, oh, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much, guys. But again, for me, I just almost felt like, is that like a backhanded, not a backhanded compliment, but like, you're so grateful because you're more than likely going to eat 50% of the rice. But, and if you wanted it so bad, sit out. Mm. Like, I don't know. Like,
and you're in the dominant position of a majority alliance.
So I just, for me, it was like a little bit weird. But again, I understood Mike. Mike was like, I came here to play. I want to play.
Yeah, that's different. Yes. Like, I feel like it would be hard for me to sit out of a challenge on Survivor because I came there to play. And because, like, you know, many things that Wen Senior instilled in me about not giving up and not quitting and this.
But that's not giving up or that's not quitting.
It's not. It's being, it's a,
for me, it's sacrifice. So there's a difference.
Okay, fair enough. I agree with you on that. So anyway, this challenge, it's a short-lived challenge. It's very quick. We have, within the first couple seconds, High's out, Roxbury's out, Mike's out, Chanel's out, and, well, Chanel lasted a little longer, and then we have a showdown between Jonathan and Tori. The challenge beast, Tori.
Listen.
Who just came off of a win for immunity, the tribal before, and now she's back against Jonathan. Two Goliaths.
And I mean, so this is where I started to look at Tori a little different. I would say that when she won this and it was a close battle, and I know Jonathan has to be burning up inside. And for me, it's just like, oh, okay, Tori is so, again, I feel like as a viewer, and this, again, why I love the show Survivor so much, is that, like, we go on this roller coaster ride. And as a viewer, I'm like, oh, she doing too much, Tori. Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, a very, like, polarizing character or emotion, invoking emotion in me. Like, you know, so it's like automatically, like, I enjoy watching her, whether I am rooting against her or rooting for her. Like, you know, I enjoy watching her. Like, she's a great castaway. And then it's like this slow edit of like, she in this game though. Like, and it's like, okay, so people might have wanted her out, right? Because of, you know, oh, we can't trust Tori. She's like, you know, relentless of not like, you know, she asking Roxburgh, well, what you got? What you see? I didn't see anything. But what you got? What you see? I didn't see anything. What you got? What you see? I didn't see anything. And it's like, okay, like, all right, we need to get rid of her. But then it's like the fact of her actually winning two challenges back to back, letting them know that, like, I'm not for play, and I'm a competitor. It yeah. kind of sort of like, it changes her in a sense. And it's like, oh my God, maybe people will like align themselves with her a little bit, because at this point, she's the only one that's giving Jonathan smoke. And if we need to get Jonathan out, then we need Tori around to beat his behind in an individual immunity challenge. So it's like the way the game is evolving, and it's like, revealing Tori. Now, she's still the Tori that we know, but it's like, for me, it's like, it's levels and it's adding to her resume that, like, I have to respect it. And I, for me, it's like, let me find out. I'm a Tori stand on the low.
That's crazy. I think this episode was what changed me. And I was like, are we about to turn into the Tori stand podcast? Because the whole time I'm just like watching this person and I'm thinking Angelina, you know, she's going to give us laughs through the whole season. And then this one episode, even the way she won that challenge, she wasn't jumping and celebrating. Right. Like she took it like a champ. She took it like someone that's won some things before. She's acting like she's been there before. I mean, she just won immunity the day before, but so it scares me because she's on the outs and just won the first two immunities. Now she's very, if she wasn't
visible enough, being one of the few in the minority. Right. Now she's very visible. Like, hey, as the first chance we get, let's get this challenge beast out of here. True. That's one thing that scares me.
Okay, sorry. But also, I think that that also changes, like, the dynamic of the other people, because now we can't get her out, and now we've got to get two other people out. But if one portion of the tribe wants to get this one person out, the other portion of the tribe wants to get this other person out, then it causes a rift. And it's making her visible, but it also could make her invisible. Mm. No, like,
listen to that take. But I think you're right. It shakes things up and shakes perceptions up and gives people different kinds of tools. Like you said, now this is the Jonathan David. This is the David to Jonathan's Goliath. This is the person that we can use to snipe Aquaman. So it can make people think differently.
And could also make for a great blindside. Say she does not win, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, it's our chance to get Tori out. But now, and everyone can get on board with that, but also say hi, say Romeo, say Jonathan, say they want to get somebody out. They could use her.
Shoot a missile at somebody.
So she, just the way that she is opening up this, like, the endlessness of to be able to be not used, but like visible, but invisible. So okay, Tori, I see you.
Bryce,
do you really see me, Bryce? No, Tori, I see you. No, but I'm asking, like, do you see, like, Tori? Yes, I see you. Do you see me? Like, Tori, girl, we see each other.
I appreciate you opening that perspective for me, Bryce. And yeah, Tori's got some new fans over here, and we're excited to see how far she can go. And what I found interesting was some of the Drea looks as Tori won and the things that she said. It's like, man, Tori is in the crosshairs of Drea right now. And that'll be interesting too.
But yeah, but also Tori got the drop on Drea, and so it's again, like, Drea don't fumble. Like, you know, again, what scares me about the position that Drea is in is that it's almost like you've got everything to lose. Mm. So you gotta move like when you got bombs over,
bombs over Baghdad. Don't end the lane unless you can eat something. Bombs over Baghdad.
So my whole thing is, Drake, when you got this arsenal with you, girl, you need to move like a... Don't be moving like a... And then drop everything.
Yes. What Bryce said.
It makes me nervous because we then see them get back to camp. And again, so this is where it, like, frustrates me a little bit. They come to the conclusion that Chanel needs to go. Okay. And listen, y'all know me. I love Hoboken Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like the one, like my, I'm just like, okay, Mike is just like, Chanel wrote my name down and I can't get over it. I can't trust you.
She's a snake.
But my question to Mike is,
but wait a minute.
But you wrote her name down. But, it's just like, but again, I can somewhat get Mike because I just feel like I'll probably be the same way. Like, you write my name down, then we're done. But in the same thing, I also feel like y'all both wrote each other's name down. She owned up to it. It should cancel it out. But again, I feel like Mike is like, I feel like this is, it reminds me a little bit of like Liana and Xander. Like, Mike is just like, you know, what he got his eyes set on Chanel. And that's just like, and that's what it is. And again, but for me though, if the one thing that like scares me for Mike though is, okay, if and when you get Chanel out, so then what? It's like, are you going to be fixated on someone else? Or like, And so what brings me back to my point
Did you say asphyxiated? I'm adding that to the Bricktionary right now. Asphyxiated.
But you know what I meant. But
how do you spell that?
Asphyxiation.
All right. I'm sorry. Go on. Yes. Mike gets out,
if Mike gets out Chanel, he will be asphyxiated on another target, and that's $1 million.
Right. And they come to the majority alliance comes to the conclusion that it needs to be Chanel. No one has any issue with it. My issue is, I just look at it like, even if I don't really trust Chanel and it seems like, you know, do I really want to give up my tribe mates like that quickly and give the power to other tribes that, like, even though I can't trust Chanel, but it's like, it's a gamble. Like,
you're talking about as Mike. Because they just gave up Lydia.
And again, it's like, for me, what is just so interesting is that, like, how invested, like, everyone from these other tribes are, like, as this majority tribe that don't really know each other like that. So I just, even
but Bryce, if, this new survivor, and no, this is I, short, and they're 16 and, days in, and they have like 10 days left or whatever. So yeah, you're right. Like, they haven't, they can't, they are jumping from their original tribe, but their original tribe is how many days in?
No, I mean, I get it. But I mean, also, like, in the game of Survivor, it's getting to the end. And guess what? Getting a jury to vote for you. So, mm-hmm. again, it's just like, OK, Mike, I understand it. But, like, do she have to go right now? Because even if, like, because clearly, Mike, you ain't letting the foot off the pedal with Chanel. But would Chanel be harboring this the whole time that she's on the jury? And
she'll never vote for him.
If you get to the, like, you know what I mean? So it's not just get to the end. It's get to an end with the jury that will vote you. However, it brings me back to, again, so they say that it's Chanel. Nobody has any issue with it. Then they say, well, listen, guess you got an idol. You know, we're going to put Romeo name down. Now, we already know that Romeo has, like, been feeling uncomfortable because he had a close ally with Drea. And it seems like after she got with the merge, Drea said, "Poing," and pew. She has not really been messing with the baby boy that is Romeo. And he is intuitive. He senses it. He feels it. And Romeo said, okay, if y'all not telling me nothing, I'm going to go out and get my own information. Now, this is the question that I have for you is, I felt like during my very short time at Kagyam, when I knew that they were coming for me, I didn't do a lot of parlaying.
Yeah.
I kind of like sat, I only talked to the people that I talked to. And what good does that really do if, like, you know, you need to actually reach across the aisle? I look at this move from Romeo like, okay, your closest ally ain't really giving you no information. And you started pressing up on people and people started giving you different information and you were going to the source. Now, obviously, to the top alliance of the people, when this gets back to them, they're like, oh no, Romeo doing too much. He gotta go. And so, I mean, yeah, he does have, like, I get that reasoning, but also if Romeo was really the target, I ain't mad at, like, you know what I mean? Like, so what are you... I feel like I got Romeo in this situation. Okay, y'all say I'm not the target. Clearly, I'm at the end of the alliance, so the information is not being disseminated to me. But then y'all got people leaking information that they heard my name, and now it's like, so I feel like on the part of the major alliance, this is their fault. Like, y'all information is not, y'all, again, it just goes to, like, y'all information ain't tight.
Right. Well, that's what happens when you're dealing with so many people. Romeo, what I will say is Romeo went to Drea. One of the things he said was, you're not even looking at me. And first and foremost, we know Drea got some looks. First of all, she will look at you. Okay. But for him to recognize that, one of the things that I noticed in Ghost Island, was in tribal council, I told Kellen or I told people, like, if we're still locked in or if things need to change or whatever, I need to see your eyes. You got to look at me so I can understand. I can see someone through their eyes, you know? That's when I know if you're being real. Put your eyes away, Bryce.
Okay.
That's when I know if someone's being real with me or what have you. And there are other cues in tribal. Like, I remember, if I'd say a joke or something, or the people that were laughing, all right, I'm cool. Dom's laughing at my joke. That's my guy. You know, we're locked in. People aren't laughing. Oh, wait a minute. They might not be even with me. I mean, it might not be a funny joke, but
yeah,
they might
not that funny. But,
but there are all these cues that you look for, especially in Survivor. And Romeo was like, all right, homegirl that I've been working with is not even looking at me when she's talking to me. And I think we even saw that when she was lying about the paint to Tori. So for Romeo to then say, you know what? I'm gonna get it my own way. You know,
okay.
Like, I can't wait for you. It's a shortened game of Survivor. I'm gonna go talk to people. And as you should be talking to people, and for him to find that his name was brought up, like, yeah, like, so I got respect for him for that. And then you got all these people saying, man, Romeo Scramble doing this, that, and the third.
Hey, not
anyone. Anyone should do what he did in his position. And then in the Dominant Alliance's position, yeah, y'all should say, oh, he's scrambling and da-da. Look for any reason to point the finger at somebody. Yes, I get it, but he's doing what he should do.
And again, I feel like this is a misplay on my girl Drea. Because listen, girlfriend, y'all, you are his closest alliance. We as the viewers know that, like, he's disposable to you. So you, of all people, should be the one to bring this information. So I'm like, listen, the vote is Chanel. But they, like, we told Chanel is you. You will only hear from Chanel. And, like, this is a way that Drea could garner more trust in Romeo. So that, like, why let him... If he really is that disposable to you, you actually should be turning up your, like, keeping it cool, keeping it with him. Like, you know, and then after Chanel goes home, then Romeo would be like, you know what? She really do got my back. And then when it's a blind side, you could be like, I didn't know they were taking you out. Like, you know, it's again, this is a new level of gameplay. And I think that they are all, they're playing so high and so fast that, but I think they are, like, missing some of the other very important, crucial parts of the gameplay, but not to fault them, the game is moving at a extremely fast rate.
Bryce, I totally agree with you as far as, like, you don't alienate people. Like, at the end of the day, these people have to vote for you for $1 million. So, and you had a good rapport with this brother. So keep that up. Like, whatever it is, if there's something that turns you off about him, if his breath stinks or something, whatever it is, put that to the side and act like he's your bestie until y'all blindside him. And then at the end of the day, you could still maybe get a vote for him. But if you start, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, it makes me think of, like, Tasha Fox and Savage on Game Changers when they had Abby Maria in their alliance. They didn't, like, you know, Abby Maria going Abby Maria. Mm-hmm. And they didn't just cut her out. Like, I don't know. But again, that's maybe that is the old model of, like, I feel like if it's your alliance, you should rock with them. But I mean, at the same breath, we have been saying when it's time to jump ship, you got to jump ship. But I mean, is it time to jump ship? Are they playing Celine Dion here now, wherever you are? I am here and my heart will go. Once more, you open the door, and I know that my heart will go on. Okay, first of all, just a random fact. I probably have seen the movie Titanic over 347 times. I don't know why that's, like, my favorite movie. I got it for Christmas.
Leo stan?
I not really. I just love that movie. But I know Rose should have got her ass a little over on that dough and made room for Jack.
Right. Now,
but
were
I mean,
you
yeah.
in college when Titanic came out?
Or? Actually, I was in kindergarten when Titanic came out, and I got it for Christmas on the double deck VHS tapes. I used to watch that bad boy over and over again. And also, whenever Titanic is on, if I'm ever, like, searching the channels, like, looking for something to watch, and I see Titanic is on, I just have to finish watching it. There's been times I've been, like, supposed to go out with people, and I'm getting ready, and Titanic on, and I never show up because, like, I just love the movie Titanic.
Yeah. So you drove to the theater to watch Titanic?
So no, because I was
your friend.
I was kindergarten.
You were driving.
No, I was definitely not driving when Titanic came out. But anyway, but yeah, if Celine Dion ain't singing, the Titanic ain't sinking yet. So it ain't no need to jump ship.
Exactly. That's where he was going.
People start looking at Romeo, and now it's a matter of, all right, we wanted Chanel, but Romeo's scrambling. Maybe we need to start looking at Romeo, but we have Mike, who is locked in still. Chanel is a snake. She stabbed me in the back. That's who we're going for. And what? Go ahead.
What is interesting, though, is once they came around, because I feel like if we pay close attention, we can see the subgroups of the subgroups in the Maid Alliance. Because once Hai brought that to Drea and Mike, and they all were on board, think about who Mike went to.
Jonathan.
And who else?
Hai.
No, Roxroy.
Rox.
And mind you, Mike was like, I'm not changing the vote. And Roxroy was like, who's going to change the vote? I'm telling you, it's Chanel. Like, you know, like, again, and like I said before, Roxroy and Mike, if they teamed up, like, they are, like, they will go down together. Like, they are, like, and again, they would have Jonathan. So I think that it's just interesting to see that Mike went to Jonathan and Rox. So for me, that tells me they have a little thing together. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Hai went to Drea, I think that Drea traded Romeo in for Hai.
She done upgraded him, huh?
I mean, is it an upgrade?
I don't know. I got a question, though, Bryce. Say Mike and Roxroy combined forces. What would their alliance be called? Mike's Roy or like...
Mike's Rox.
Mike's Rox? Or can we get more creative? Shall the users drop the...
Yeah. Let us know in the comments if the Roxroys and the Mikes got together, what would their name be?
That could be interesting.
Rox, Mikes, Royce.
Mikes, Roy.
Okay, Mikes, Roy.
Hoboken, Rox.
Hoboken, Rox.
Roy Boken. Anyway, let's continue. Woo. So, you know what? I'm going to insert a commercial here because I didn't even see, because I'm watching on the plane, I didn't get commercial break. I didn't even write that there was a commercial here, but I'm just going to assume that there's a commercial here. And because of that, I'm going to give a shout out to our next party, not the karaoke party, but the homecoming. We're coming back to Philly just to put on for our city because our people, they always want something and we can't not give Philadelphia something. They were there from the jump back in 1997 when Bryce was on Survivor. 2018 to 2020 when I was on Survivor. Philadelphia was with us. So we're going to shout out the homecoming. We are coming back May 11, 2022, 6 p.m. till 11, maybe 12. We might just go until at the Winston. The Winston is 461 North 3rd Street, Philadelphia. It is an incredible venue. Me and Bryce went to brunch there the other day.
Yes. And it understands the assignment. Hold up. Wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished?
We're not done.
I thought it was rented. I'm the type. All I know is murder. When they come to me, I'm not on them.
I done been a DOA. I done been a KOD. Even though what we do is wrong.
Do-do-do-do. We still hustle to the
sun come up. Crack up 40 when the sun go down. It's a cold winter. Y'all better bundle up. And there better be a hot summer grandma. I need just a rocket now. You're hot now. Listen up. Don't you know cops' sole purpose is to lock us down and throw away the key. But without these drugs, your kids ain't got nowhere to eat. We still trying to keep moms smiling because when the teeth start snowing and the stomach start growling and the heat start flowing, if I'm from the hood, I know you feel me, keep going. If my sneaks start leaning and my heat start working and my heat start working, I'm going to rob me a person.
Can't stop, won't stop, Rockefeller's the one over. We get down, baby.
We get down.
Girls, the girls that love us.
Cause we stay fresh to death, we the vet, love it, love. They don't make us or break us, only make up to break up. See the Jacob, just a little make up. It's them young gunners, Kristen, little
Kiki. Kristen, little Kiki.
Okay. Might do that there. Yes. It right good, might do that there.
So listen, I used to love. So listen, we just were singing some Philly anthems, and baby, I used to love the young Gunna's. I used to listen. It was Neef for me. And so, random story of when I had my Survivor watch party for Kageon season 28, I had it at this event on Broad Street. I forget the name of it because it was one of the places that, like, so anyway, I did a walkthrough like the week before, and Jervis happened to be in there doing like something, and I ended up like staying. They like, you know, I was just so excited. My scene was getting ready to come out. And do Neef, you know, Neef Buck walks in, and mind you, at this point, the Young Gunners aren't as like, they're still like Philadelphia famous. They still go on, you know, like the circuit tour of like the whatever, but I lost my mind. And mind you, Danny Garcia is a Philly boxer, and he is the cover of my phone case, or he's always on my home screen. But I just have, you know, before it was Danny Garcia, it used to be Neef Buck. And so, like, when I saw him, I just was like, hi! Imagine, we're in this very, like, you know what the bar gives. So, like, I just, like, in my job, I wasn't trying to fangirl out, but I fangirl out. And he was, like, so cool. We took a photo. It's, like, blurry because, again, I was just there by myself. But I ended up staying at the bar, so one of his people took the photo. And I didn't want to be like, can you take another one? But anyway, that's just my random story. But I used to love the Young Guns.
Me too, bro. I got their albums.
You mean album.
All right, name one of their albums.
The Young Guns only, like, they only had
one. Tough Love.
Tough Love. They only had one album.
No, they had a couple.
I think they had two. Yeah, they did.
What was that?
Dun, dun, dun. No, hold on. Wait.
I think of my wife. You know, powder blue, rock away, suit, white Micah.
Okay, so you're right. Micah.
It's no better love.
So, my job, I listened to this like back when I was like living it, like, you know, I thought, like, when I was like giving the trade, I used to listen to this album in college. But anyway,
we're in Philly. Go grab your tickets. They're at our Eventbrite. We're going to be dropping the flyer probably this week, but yeah, you can come and party with us here in Philly. This is for Philly. You know, we love y'all. We will always come back home no matter where we go. Our heart is in Philly, and shout out to our Survivor Philadelphia people. Shout out to everybody, man. Shout out to all the people from Philly that show love to our Philly survivors and all of that. So then after the commercial break, we get to tribal on night 16. Jonathan says he's not going to vote for the people that sacrifice themselves. And to me, that means that... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Because I've been cutting you off. So go ahead.
He said... I already feel better, Mr. Jeff. I have some life back in me because he got to eat the food. So he's not going to vote for the people that sacrifice themselves. So when I think about it, that means it's not going to be Marianne, and he can't vote for Tori, who just won immunity. So then we have Chanel and Romeo. So like that narrows the field down a little bit. But
also, what we didn't talk about or touch base on is that while Romeo was rolling the dice, Chanel was cool as a cucumber. And I would have to believe that Chanel knew that she was possibly a target.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point where Hai was reconsidering not voting Chanel out and voting Romeo out because, like, Chanel was so cool. Like, well, she was so cool because nobody tipped her off. Like, she didn't have a reason to, but what was your thoughts on her being so cool and them possibly keeping her? But again, it was Mike had it stuck in his way. I don't know why I thought that was like...
Did you think that was good strategy on Chanel's behalf?
I don't know. Like,
because she almost inadvertently got herself not voted out, right? By being
like,
so cool.
It's like that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so weird because had she been freaking out, which I would have to believe that clearly she would know that she's somewhat not safe, but it almost was good gameplay if she had pieced things up better with Mike, but she did piece things up better with Mike. Mike just still was like stuck on Chanel. I just wanted your like analyst on that because it's a twister.
Yeah, because it's like you got one school of thought. All right, if you're cool, I don't know. So from my perspective, I think when I was on Winners at War, I didn't know I was going home at the merge. So I was cool. You know what I was doing? I built a little wood shop. I was working on some stuff over there. I was making chopsticks for people. I was painting on the chopsticks.
So and you were actually using the paint.
I was using the paint. I had the little bamboo sticks that I was using. I would dip the tip into the paint, and I'd dip it in another color. So then the tip would be different colors for people. So, you know, you can have your chopsticks. That's what I'm doing. Meanwhile, they plotting. I thought, you know, I'm like, all right, my ally's going to come. Let me know, you know. Nah. So that was me being cool. And you know what it ended up with me being sniped. I had no idea that it was my night. Had I known it was my night, I probably would have been running around like Romeo.
But again, sad that that's how you went out, but also good gameplay on the people that got you out.
They made me super comfortable now. They didn't bring in my allies.
And so, then my question is, spoiler alert, we know that Chanel ended up going home. Was Chanel too comfortable? Like, was she, like, coming off of the night that she had previously, or just coming off of, like, her rockiness with her other tribe? And again, like she had said before, I'm playing chess, the long game, you know, making these moves. But, like, being as though she just had that night that she had and she was so cool, do you feel like she should have been like, I don't know.
If you know that it's a possibility that your name is coming up, you got to make more conversations.
But I feel like Chanel was in a situation where she was damned if she did, damned if she didn't, because if she was not playing it cool and asking around, that would give them even more ammunition to get rid of her.
And we might have more scenarios where Chanel's walking up on groups and they're walking away from her. So I think doing a little bit more than being super cool might be the way to go. I'm not saying do the most and run around like Romeo, but I'm saying just having a few more conversations.
I wish, and although what I would have wished from this episode, I wished Romeo, we could have seen a Romeo and a Chanel conversation. And although I don't feel like Chanel would have even give anything to Romeo, because up until this, Chanel is still like locked in. We see her going too high saying like, why don't I know? Like, you know, like, I mean, she is like, and this is what Jack said like last week, like she is still being extremely loyal. And again, I'm just thinking of this as well. We're seeing this new gameplay in this season where it's like, okay, got to the merge. I'm done with you. On to the new thing. And I think maybe Chanel is playing a more classic, older game with like, despite it all, we still the tribe and I'm going to work with it. I don't know.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. Well, so that's a strategy. You know, you can play it cool. We saw the two extremes in that case. We saw somebody running around scrambling, and we saw somebody cool as a cucumber.
I guess the difference in the variable is one has a mic that's like, you gotta know. And Romeo necessarily doesn't really have anybody, and they're not really thinking about Romeo. They just are saying, like, we're putting his name down. But yeah, in those situations, and again, I know I'm going on and on because, like, I just like, in those situations, though, when you are in the top group, right? Well, I guess it has to be realistic, because I'm going to say, like, why don't you ever use somebody's name in the top group? Or like, you know, so that you can avoid this. But then again, the person that you tell that to, I guess for them, they'll be like, there's no way Bryce is writing Wendell's name down. So like, I mean, okay, I guess I answered my own question.
Yeah, or they then triangulate that information and start sowing seeds.
Figuring out that, like.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get to tribal and
they get spicy.
Were they getting spicy?
I mean, a little bit. Who driving the car? Who in the car? Who not in the car? If you too scared to drive the car and you in the passenger seat, let's put your seatbelt on.
Yeah. So Hi also said, like, if you're running around being suspicious and spreading misinformation, like the shade, if you're being suspicious and spreading misinformation, you might not be in the group. And then that was like a direct shot at Romeo. And from my perspective, I'm like, where did they go wrong?
They didn't. It's just that, like, I mean, right. Like, I was just like, again, this has been my whole theme of the night. Even if you're not with them, why are you like making it so obvious that like it's just like, and again, I know they have not seen 41 yet, but again, it's giving me like Romeo is giving me Erica vibes. Like, it's like the people at the bottom, and especially in these high place games, like they can link up with the other outlanders, and like, it's just like they are being so, I don't want to, they're just being not overt.
Yeah.
It what makes for good TV, and it makes good to like watch it as a like as a viewer. I mean, don't, I'm not complaining. I'm just as a person that is like analyzing it. Like, I just am just like, I wonder what is leading this to be so.
Are we going to watch this dominant alliance just like kill these outliers? Are we just going to watch them one by one go? That's my first question. My second statement to where you said, always hang on to these people that might have been your allies and you don't want to work with them again. In Ghost Island, we said Navidi Strong all the way through the season.
Yes.
We might have said it in Final Tribal Council when it was me, Dom, and sitting next to a Malolo. And we had another Malolo that we just voted out. I knew I wanted to go to the as close to the end with, I mean, Dom was my ally, but Laurel and Donathan, two people from the other tribe that happened to swap on with us at the first swap. But from my first tribe through then, through the next swap, through the merge, I was shouting out Navidi Strong to Kellen, to Chelsea, to all these, to Dez, so that we stayed cool until it was time to really shoot that shot and snipe. And then it's too late for them to do anything. But now if I'm like, Kellen, sorry, I got the new crew with me, Don and Laurel. It's been real. We the cool kids. Like, no. And she might not have voted for me at the end.
Right. But again, it's the monster. But I also take into consideration, they're not eating. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's a lot of different variables. But for it is like just a little like, like, I just like, oh my God. Like, but I, again, for me, I love it in the sense that it's just like, well, what the hell is going to happen? And my question to you is though, Wendy, if you're in the dominant alliance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you snipe out all the outlanders, it's only about three at this point. Like, when do you then now you want to start thinking like how Chanel was thinking? Because it's like, if you don't, babe, I just noticed he's about to get good. That's all I can say. Like, I just, it's getting good.
I agree with you. I'm so excited to see either if they snipe these guys and then now they got to cannibalize, or if the cannibalization happens before any of that, if we start seeing some like great moves from this minority two or three, or inroads, or where people in the dominant alliance are like, I'm not dominating the dominant alliance, or I see people that seem like they're super tight, the maybe even the Mike Rocks Jonathan or whatever, like,
yeah.
Now it's time to make moves. Now it's time for Omar to make, like, now it's time for high, whatever it is. I think that this is setting up for a good rest of the season, especially when we have like a Tori who's a challenge beast who's starting to, you know, show some things. We have
an Omar that is in with everybody.
We got High who's brilliant. We got
a rock
Drea.
Boy.
Drea who has all the arsenal. Yeah, this is going to be good.
Dre got the whole Survivor in her bag. Okay,
she does. Like, how does she accumulate so much? It just fell on her.
And I love to see it. So it's just, yeah. Or another thought process is, it's like, what if the, I don't want to call it flip-flopping, but what if like the...
Uh-oh, here we go, guys.
So no, what if, again, like it's not a voting block. What if like this is like, you know what, at the end of the day, who won the immunity? And now it's like, you know what, maybe tomorrow Drea could be like, all right, Hi, I'm done with you. I'm working with Lindsay right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what if that is the just the style of that also would make it so interesting?
I agree. Yeah.
So, I mean, again. Yeah. Well, like, you know, I just, when I analyze and think about it, it's just like, oh my God, it's so crazy. But it is like, whether we agree with it or understand the reasoning, it for sure makes for amazing television. And ultimately, you know, Chanel went home. And by judging by her facial reactions, it appeared to be a blindside.
I don't know if it was a blindside or no. I know she wasn't happy.
Go watch.
I watched her facial. Her expression was like, and then they were like, so they were like,
and then mind you,
they were like Marianne said, wow. No. They were like, bye. They were like, bye, Chanel. Sorry, Chanel. She didn't look back. She said something like, all right. And then they were like, oh, like they knew that. That
also, her. What just and just potting about this and remember this. This is not funny, but it is funny because of the pod. When that final vote came, Drea definitely was not looking like Drea was like,
don't do the eyes.
Like, but that, like, that was like the Drea, like when Tori found to Drea was like this. And like, when the final, like Drea was like, and again, I think that that's interesting. Like, and Romeo highlighted it that I don't think that Drea likes to lie. She just avoids contact or like, so I, again, that I will be interesting to see moving forward if someone else will be able to pick up on that and be like, you're like, you know what I mean? I get just all of these, just.
She has some tells.
Right.
Yeah. She has some tells.
But ultimately, sad to see our girl Chanel go home. In my opinion, I think she played a great game. I think that she was thinking ahead. I think that she was, she was just doing her best. It's the nature of the beast of Survivor at times that, you know what? It, one move, another move, it trickle in. Like, you know, you're playing your own game and sometimes it just doesn't work out. I don't think that it's because she's not a great player. I don't think that it wasn't because she didn't end the play. It's the name of the game of Survivor. I would love to see Chanel play again. I think that she was fun. I think that she had the right mind. I wish I could thought like her when I was on Kageon. So like, just definitely sad to see my queen, Nelly Nell Chanel go home.
That's our girl. That's our friend. And sadly, she just got on the wrong side of Hoboken Mike. Like that's what did it. Whoever that would have been at that moment, he was going to get you. He was going to go for you. He was going to be dead stand on you. And Hoboken Mike did his thing. Yeah. But again, I did have a question for you, Bryce. I was trying to think like who I'm rooting for now going forward. And as there are a lot of people that I just like and I just want to see them do well. There are a lot of people that I can make pitches like, oh, this person can win the game. This person can win the game. This person, Omer, you know. Drea with all her artillery, Mike with his social game, Jonathan with his social game and his physical prowess. So there are so many arguments that can be made for who will win, but who am I rooting for now? I think I'm rooting for the people at the bottom of the alliance, like not of the alliance, the people at the bottom, the Tori, Marianne, Romeo.
But what about Lindsay?
Lindsay's even, in the alliance. But at the bottom of the alliance?
I mean, but just somewhere. We just don't see much of her right now.
Mm. Is she about to be Erica?
I mean, or Heather? Like, I don't know. Mm. I think that what I will say is that, like, of course, I don't know who I'm rooting for at this point. I think that I just want to continue to see how this unfolds. Because honestly, again, at the pace of the way that this game is going, anyone could turn it around. Anyone could, like, it for me as a viewer, I really don't have an indication of to where it, at this point, I almost could make a case or someone has the potential to go far. So I love it. I'm excited. There are clearly people I'm rooting for, but this day and age of how I'm watching this, I want to try to be more methodical and like, you know what? I want to like, just like today I'm in here and I'm like, Tori girl, like, you know, like I am like, I don't know, like, let's see what next episode gives. So I am really invested in this season and it is just so much fun to watch, especially potting here on the Purple Pants podcast. So I'm excited for next week's episode.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. I don't want them to just pick off the people on the bottom. And I think they're going to find a way for that not to happen.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, listen, we'll never know. But listen, you can tune in here next week to get your Purple Pants podcast, Survivor News Edition. Your baby boys, the trio, will be back. Wendeezy, thank you so much for always coming in, giving your insight. You can keep the commercials, but we appreciate you. Okay, come on with the bus. You want to see my bus? Also, make... Oh, come on. Oh, it's giving. Oh,
it's giving merge.
Oh, it's giving. Tell me you're a Survivor fan without telling me you're a Survivor fan. But listen, also check out HGTV Smart Home. 2022. Show your baby boy Wendeezy some love. Tweet about it. Let the people know. Support good people who support good people.
And you can win it.
Listen.
Enter to win. Go to hgtv.com and win this house. The house has $1.2 million worth of stuff in it. Listen. You can win a Mercedes-Benz with it, a kayak. Oh. There's so much stuff in this smart home. It's awesome. So watch the show. It's on HGTV. It's going to be on Paramount Plus in a week. And you can enter to win at hgtv.com.
You hear it first. Thank you guys so much again. Make sure you subscribe to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel. Give this video a thumbs up and write in the comments. We need to know what Rox, Rory, and Mike's name is and what you thought. And your baby boys will be back next week. Thank you for listening.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Rockefeller. And that is going to conclude this week's Survivor News, brought to you by the Purple Pants Podcast. And you can follow along to this audio podcast over there on the Bryce Isaiah YouTube page. You know, give that video a thumbs up, write some reviews in the comments. Also, ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever podcasts are. We are there waiting for you to hit subscribe. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Write a review. And don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend to fasten your seatbelt. Because
it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.